He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
Tell us about Micah, and the legacy that he's going to leave on this earth.
This moment. You know, I'm so proud of my son because in his last moments, he wasn't screaming for me. He was screaming, Jesus, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I hear you. Jesus, I'm calling upon you. And his wildest dreams and everything that he wanted to be was a superhero. And that was his goal in life. And instead, he's my hero because he reached for something past flesh, past human, past anything that even grown adults, I think, would reach for. My son called out to the one God Almighty. And I think at that moment, he was rescued and he became my hero. And I think all of them carried me through that moment. I think that his biggest dreams, he was the smartest, bravest, hopeful, great friend, great son. I couldn't have asked for a better son. And he was so happy up until the very end when he was screaming for Jesus. And in that moment, I think he found joy.
Folks, here we are watching the entire aspect of the Helene storm unfold before us as if Maui is now on repeat. Are they grabbing land? Will this end up a lithium mining area in the future? Have they killed thousands for their greed? We will keep pushing for answers where it seems that all of this is lining up. Somehow the government's doing all they can to stop people from helping. We're going to find out about our rights related to this today in America. You have the right to do this. And we're going to get to the bottom of this and share some more information heavily on that today and on our children and what's wrapped around, especially at the end of this video. You don't want to miss hearing a mother as she shares what happened to her 7-year-old in the midst of the storm. We definitely need to stay in prayer for these folks up there and hope we can defeat the enemy who's out to get us. Here we go.
I am actually not a Trump fan. I think that he is narcissistic, he's egotistical, he's cruel. I don't like the way that he treats people. However, when I heard that Biden was no longer going to run, I was so hopeful that we would have a stand-up person to represent our country, and it's not Kamala. One of our family members was talking to us about how he chose his surgeon, and he chose a very narcissistic surgeon who is very good at what he does. He said that he ended up making this choice not because he was kind, but because he was too egotistical to let himself fail on a life-threatening surgery. And I feel that way about Trump. I feel like even though he is narcissistic, I feel like he is too egotistical not to protect our country. And protection is what we need right now in the world that we're living in. I feel like Trump is the right person.
It's amazing how I haven't ever heard that one before, how this is playing out in other folks' minds before they realize that even though they can't stand him, they realize what's happening across our earth and more are waking up regardless of their maybe hatred towards him or his personality or whatever. Another thing that happened here recently on President Trump, before I get to more on Evergreen and some other things we're going to share, is the MSNBC host Ari Melber appalled after anti-Trump impeachment witness who vowed to never vote for Trump. Well, he's voting for Trump.
For you after that, why was it important for you to say no more Trump because of his January 6th conduct? And do you stand by that?
No, I don't stand by it. And I'll tell you why. I've now lived 4 years under the Biden-Harris policies, and I have to say that those policies are not only becoming an existential threat to our country's way of life, but to our allies as well.
So when you,
and
this,
it has
is,
to,
this is,
no,
so,
no,
Ambassador,
let me, no.
This is, I'll let you finish,
Ari,
but
no,
this is
I want
so
to finish.
Striking. You said it was a no for me after that, January 6th.
I did.
And here we are right now.
I did.
And you're saying it's a yes for you.
It is a yes for me. It is an absolute yes for me. That is how badly the Biden-Harris team have prosecuted their job.
But the whole point you seem to be making was that January 6th and that kind of attack on democracy is bigger than any
but
policy.
I am seeing so many attacks on democracy that eclipse January 6th.
Yes, sir. I'm seeing so many attacks on democracy worse than January 6th. That eclipse January 6th. These paid-off CIA agents at MSNBC doing all they can to pump January 6th over and over again. And yet we know the answers, and the information has flowed out to the masses. You guys remember Wu's News? He's working on part three. He's almost done with it. He definitely exposed J6 and what's going on in that area. And he's definitely, if you head over to his site on Rumble and hit his social media, he's looking for help on his part three for J6. And we exposed them at length. All the actors that were pretending to be MAGA Trump supporters. All the actors that were police officers opening the barriers and just waving everybody, come on into the building. The folks that unlocked the giant magnetic door, allowing folks to go in. The people that were hurt, the real Trump supporters who were pulled into the trap, the ones that they're still going after. And they're continuing to push years later. J6, how evil. They just won't stop. Something interesting also about this port strike that's going to have an effect on all of us. Joe Rambo pointed this out. The EO 13848, remember from President Trump, the executive order, imposing certain sanctions in the event of foreign interference in a United States election. Remember the completely disrupted supply chain right after the stolen 2020 election? Think. Executive Order 13818. Blocking the property of persons involved in serious human rights abuse or corruption. Think Epstein, Diddy, and the Clinton Foundation, the ever-given Suez Canal blockage. Is it logical to believe that there may be more at play than a simple strike? The timing is curious alone. Supply chain disruptions to begin and end the Joe Biden administration. And why didn't Joe end those executive orders? Why didn't he end them? He could have easily walked in and said, you know what, these sanctions for foreign interference in the United States election, get rid of them because we're tired of hearing about the elections being stolen. No. Blocking the property of persons involved in serious human rights abuse, like, you know, trafficking children. No, to keep that one there too. So all I'm saying, says Joe Rambo, is there is a lot of dots here, friends. Eyes on. Interesting, because as they show Fox News showing the port workers officially going on strike, they have a big old load of Evergreen, which was, remember, U.S. Secret Service's code for Hillary Clinton. Yeah, and we had that from the Q board. Remember, you guys were wondering, what's the Q board? Well, the Q's where we got information given to us that you're not going to find from mainstream media. You got to find a way to go around the mainstream media to get them to we the people, and we share as much as we can. The lines are drawn to find Renegade Hussein. Remember, that was his Secret Service code name, and define Evergreen, HRSC, U.S. Secret Service code name. Non-standard definition, think depopulation, the silent war continues. Why did she have that name, Evergreen? Well, then we head over to the strikes. A lot of folks are saying that, well, maybe they're striking because they have these robots that are running the ports. Check this out. If you're looking at your screen, these are all automated vehicles that are basically working as if they're in a giant computer inside of a screen. What you're looking at are just robots doing all the work. Well, what does that mean? Well, after a while, you notice that the robots are doing all the work. You don't need people. You just get rid of everyone. That's one thought. The other thought is if you've got this type of system set up where people are not down on the ground moving these boxes everywhere, well, then you can't hear the children that are being transported and trafficked. You can't hear the families that are brought in on these evergreen containers and other containers. So if you can't hear them, which is what I'm getting a lot of information on, doesn't mean that it's true. It just means that we've been finding out, especially when they put in movies for us to see, kids trafficked inside of these containers. I've seen them in movie after movie. They show us. How do they get this information? How do they show us on movies? I don't understand how they always figure this stuff out. And then, if you didn't know, the port where shipping containers are coming in, there's a lot of them that are only 100 meters from P. Diddy's house. You know, P. Diddy, the one that just had 120 folks with a lawyer accusing him of trafficking and doing terrible things to kids as young as 9 years old. Diddy's two homes that were raided on Star Island. There they are. They're only 100 meters away from the port. Right across the road. Look at this. There's the port. All the containers. And then all you have to do is have a little tiny little boat just go across. Or, you know, take a little tiny road and move around. And right 100 meters away, Diddy's two homes. You could dig a tunnel. Go underneath. A tunnel underneath that water. Over to the port facility. Real Housewives of Miami house is right next to that. Who else is there? Well, Rick Ross's house happens to be there. DJ Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal, who else? J-Lo, Alex Rodriguez, Rosie O'Donnell. And then, you know, back to Diddy's place if you're looking at your screen. Just conveniently located right next to the port. Imagine that. Who built those? What are they up to? Can only imagine. And then you head over to this port boss. Elon Musk showed us, wow, that's a bigger house than mine. The union boss behind the port strikes has a sprawling mansion in New Jersey, complete with Bentley, five-car garage, and guest house. And I, you know, scrolled down to see the comments on this, and some people were like, so what? He makes a lot of money, $900,000 a year, whatever. But he gets, you know, all that union money and more probably. Who knows? I don't know, just speculation. But what is he up to? Some folks would say that he's a bad guy and he's doing this on purpose leading up to the election to cause chaos throughout the entire United States. He's been paid off and he works for the bad guys. Some folks say he's working for the good guys now because maybe he was a bad guy, but they told him, hey, we need you to stop these ports. We need to start getting these children rounded up that are coming in, and you're not going to take any deals because you know what? They got offered 50% increase in their pay and they turned it down. Oh, yeah. They want 77%. Interesting set of numbers there. But they're not getting it. It's almost as if they're shutting these down. It's going to ruin the election for Kamala, make people run straight to President Trump. Or maybe some folks are even speculating, what if Kamala comes in and saves the day right before the election and everybody's like, oh my gosh, she's the greatest person in the world. I need to vote for her because you know how sheep are. What do you guys think? Let us know in the video below. You can make comments down there. Also, we had to talk about these port strikes. It's going to come out this Sunday with Dr. Kirk Elliott. Port strikes will hit major department stores, protests, riots, and hunger. And then experts are warning that gold and silver are important moving ahead. All the stuff that's playing out across America. And, you know, it's a great discussion. Every time we talk, he was talking about the port strikes and how this is all playing out. Here's a clip from that.
And it's like, you've got IKEA, you've got Walmart, you've got Home Depot that are now concerned that nothing's going to be on the shelves.
Right.
And then the stupid Axios article that we've covered before, they're concerned about the holiday shopping season. It is so much bigger than that.
Mm.
Way bigger than that. And what we're seeing here is, I think, a technocrat revolution, pretty much, where we are seeing firsthand what happens when jobs are going to be replaced by robots or
You hear that?
By computers, right?
So we had a good talk about this. It's coming out this Sunday. You don't want to miss it. But you can reach out to Dr. Kirk Elliott at any time, andweknow.com/gold, and have a conversation with him just like I do. And they'll help you out with this precious metals issue, because I'm telling you, there's these experts out there now. They're saying, get out of stocks, buy gold, and it's the end of the American empire. Some folks put that out. Now, they're not God. They don't know the future. As a matter of fact, no human on this earth knows the future. There's a lot that claim that they do, but they don't. What we do know is that our Heavenly Father is in control at all times. And we need to continue to pray for our nation. It's falling apart at the seams. And we certainly hope and pray that everything we've been told and how it's all playing out, according to the Intel Board and more, means that we sit back, we continue to pray, we get involved in our local elections and more, and we realize just how evil these folks are. That's what the comms were, to wake us up, get us to the polls, start voting. You know what? Our elections will start meaning something when they can't steal them anymore. I'm going to share a lot about North Carolina, a lot about the storm of Helene and these controlled hurricanes. I'm going to play that for you. I'm going to show you how they control them even in Saudi Arabia and some other places. We're going to show you how they're not supporting, the federal government's not giving folks except, you know, a little $750 pocket change to these people that lost everything. We'll get there in a moment. First of all, I wanted to share this with you. Folks, you're having trouble sleeping, you're having some headaches and some more things going on with you physically in your body, you don't know what's going on. You probably something with your cell phones or Wi-Fi or other electronic devices like 5G causing you problems. Well, there's a product from Fix the World Morocco that will help you out. They have devices that have composites of shungite, steel, iron oxide, and brass powders, all encased in an epoxy resin. When the resin cures, it creates a piezoelectric effect that emits a field of healthy, life-preserving energy called orgone. Well, this energy field was discovered, studied by late scientist Dr. Reich, and there are fascinating studies around orgone energy that were included in the research documentation section of their website. Well, when used in your environment, the devices they created transform the harmful energy given off by electromagnetic frequencies, or EMFs, that come from 5G, your cell phones, Wi-Fi, electronic devices, into healthy, life-preserving energy. Many people have become sensitive to EMFs, which can cause a number of health issues. You got to use these products in your environment. They can protect you from EMF toxicity and help to restore a harmonious environment that aids in better health and well-being. We've got it. Folks, I'm sleeping better. I used to have pain in the middle top part of my head. It's gone since I received these products. I have them on my phone. I have them all over my house now. It is helping me so much with pain relief, growth in plants. It actually helps with food preservation, better mental clarity, and overall calming effect. Go in the description box below, ftwproject.com/REF/532. I know that's a lot to say, but just go below this video, below the podcast, click on that link, and order your products today, folks. You will not be disappointed.
You'll never find another like me. I'm the last of my kind.
So what you're looking at there on your screen, more help is on the way. Folks are driving up. That's what we love about our country, our people. We take care of each other. It's not like Hawaii. It's out in the remote middle of the middle, an island in the middle of the ocean. Oh, no. Folks are driving in. They're flying in. They're doing all they can to support. And they said, oh, there's no way that they're going to be able to bring up supplies and all that. Oh, their folks are driving up. They're lining up. You can hear them honking with each other. Americans are standing up for each other. We've had enough. But in the midst of all this, there's a big government grab, a land grab. I'm going to show you that in a second. Just a reminder, if you're looking at your screen, tiny backwater town in North Carolina will help fuel the world's AI revolution with enough quartz to power entire $530 billion semiconductor global industry. That came out 25 March 2024. North Carolina quartz boom. By Nikki Main, science reporter for DailyMail.com. And you see the destruction on your right. It's almost like they were planning all of this because they need to get all this money raked in for lithium and for quartz. Kind of strange because October 1st, 2024, RV Park and Country Store put this out, notice to vacate, closure to public. This is to inform you that the property located at this Ella Road campground in North Carolina has been officially closed due to safety concerns for an indefinite period and must be vacated immediately. Infrastructure, including sewer, water, and electrical systems, suffer major catastrophic damage. Due to the damage and loss of these systems, it's unsafe to occupy the campground. Duke Energy has disconnected power to the campground due to the safety hazards. Permanent structure will begin to be removed to ensure we are able to identify and repair any other potential issues. Failure to vacate, vandalism to property may result in trespassing enforced by local law enforcement. Get out to your insurance company. File an insurance claim. Any personal property must be removed within 30 days. Somebody put, this is my family up in North Carolina. They now have 30 days to move what wasn't destroyed. They don't even have destruction, but they're told, move along. Get out of here. Remember Albemarle, we brought that up. Submit state and federal permits for potential redevelopment of the King's Mountain Mine. September 24th, 2024, that came out in Charlotte, North Carolina. Redevelopment of the King's Mountain Mine, one of the few known hard rock lithium deposits in the United States, development of the mine. So folks, you know, we're just speculating here. It doesn't mean that we have the answers. It doesn't mean, you know, that we're right or we're wrong. It just means that it's strange how all of a sudden they need this these properties for this type of thing. And it could, you know, they could have been already cordoned off and it really didn't have an effect on anybody's homes. And people are just putting stuff together and they're making it all up and it's not real. Or we're going down this rabbit hole and maybe that'll connect some dots someday. But it's important that we look at it. And Vanderstilt lets us know that, does anybody else think it's weird that BlackRock signed a $90 million contract for lithium in the very same area that was hardest hit by Hurricane Helene? Steve Ferguson, there's no coincidences at all. And then you got the Mission Hospital nurse report from Ann Vanderstilt. I'm going to read that in a moment. But Ed Petrowski's been tracking all of the helicopters flying around, transiting the airspace in western North Carolina and the upstate of South Carolina. At this moment, 4 p.m., most of these are civilian helicopters. It's amazing how many have donated time and money to help with rescue efforts, lifesavers, and heroes. But even though the helicopters have been flying around, it doesn't mean that everything is great or perfect. Jonathan Howard with the Florida State Guard Special Mission Unit says they desperately need help. Check this out. I think this is Jonathan Howard. It could be somebody else, but I just wanted to let you know what's going on up there.
Jonathan Howard. I'm a member of the Florida State Guard Special Missions Unit, and I'm also up here with Aerial Recovery, a nonprofit. I came up here on Sunday with Aerial Recovery before we even got activated. We flew up here, and then we got activated, which is great.
Now, let me go fast forward here.
What got me fired up about this was yesterday, me and my team did the rescue of that 11-day-year-old baby. And all these government officials and social media, they're showing that video, that pictures and video of that rescue, and claiming that like they have some like government helped with that. And I mean, even USAA, I think it was USAA Today, wrote an article about it saying it was a Florida National Guard that went and got it, like with a helicopter. No, it was me, my buddy Charlie, and a civilian named Zeb with his own personal helicopter out of Wilmington, North Carolina. Like, without that civilian, that baby would be dead. And the old lady we went and rescued after that, she'd be dead too, because she had one day left of oxygen. That no one was going to go get them. I will tell you, when we go up in the air, I probably see 40 civilian helicopters, and I might see two Blackhawks, National Guard, military, whatever they are. That's it. No one's out there doing rescues. I have my entire team up here from Florida right now, and they have no ability to go rescue these people other than what they can drive to. And the people that are in dire need, they're out in the mountains. They are completely cut off. Now, I will say, I spoke to my congresswoman down in Florida, and she made a bunch of phone calls, and now we got two contracted 60s coming up here tomorrow, which is great. I love that, but like, I still don't understand why we don't have more helicopters. Like, we'll get a lot of work done with that, but There's no military. No one's doing nothing. It blows my mind. And they're not even allowing people to see what's really going on. One of our friends yesterday, they were actually escorting CNN down to Lake Lure, and they wouldn't even let CNN. The sheriff department would not let them go videotape the bad areas, how destructive it is. I don't know why they don't want to show you all that, but I mean, it is bad. I should also say, when I flew here on Sunday, they actually stopped us from going in, the sheriff department. And it was because of a bunch of politics that they were claiming was a speaker of the House of North Carolina that was preventing us from even going in and trying to kick us out, which I have clarified today with North Carolina politicians that reached out to me, good on them. And they were like, Speaker of the House has nothing. He wants you guys there. But this is the kind of political BS that is happening here right now. Like, everyone's trying to be in charge without taking any type of action. Nobody wants to coordinate with anybody. Everybody wants to pretend like they're being the hero while these people are in the mountains.
All dying. And we keep hearing that over and over again. Let me get this in to my son with the cuss words, make sure they get removed. There we go. And so that is not the only time we're watching folks get kicked out. There is a fire chief arresting rescuers trying to bring food and water and airlift those stranded. His name was Dustin Waycaster. There's his number on the screen and email for all to see. Well, also had information that was good news that this fire chief has been relieved of his duties very soon after relief efforts started pouring in. He appears to have been the problem. Unofficial reporting indicates that Dustin has been forcibly relieved. Disgusting. They are professional pilots with a servant's heart that are trying to fly in. They're not doing anything illegal or wrong. They're stepping on egos of weak little men, and I've had enough of experience with a weak little man to know one when I hear about him. And so we heard about the TFR over ham radio. This is from Dustin. This is a guy looking up Dustin Waycaster. He put this information out. And let me show you a clip of just what happened and how it's going to affect you all.
Low cloud coverage is like Lure.
The cries for help from people stranded without food, water, or electricity hit social media soon after the flooding last Friday.
Let me lower this down just a little so you can see it better. Here we go.
Tim's phone started lighting up on Saturday with people begging for help.
I mean, I could hear the desperation in her voice. This is multiple phone calls I've received like this, voicemails, text messages, and you could hear people desperate for help.
Sidham and his son rescued four people on Saturday and spent the night in a nearby pilot's lounge, then decided to fly again Sunday morning.
I spoke with my son, which is my co-pilot. I said, hey, do you want to go back out and try to help today? And his response was, there's so many messages, I don't think we can't not go help.
Sidham and his son were headed up to Black Mountain. Flight tracking shows no flight restrictions in place Saturday or Sunday morning when Sidham flew through the Lake Lure Gap. But that was all about to change. The Sidham spotted an older couple waving for help, then landed in what's left of their driveway.
Hey, I want you to let me get in. You step out and go out. Help her in. Put her bag in the back. Get her strapped in. I'm going to take her down. Come back. I'll take him. I'll come back and then I'll get you, okay?
I originally left my son, co-pilot, on the side of the mountain. It was kind of unstable, so I didn't want to put more weight in the helicopter to lift back off. So I left my son with the other victim, and I was just going to take one person down at the time. And you could hear me in the video talking through with the victims and with my son what we're going to do.
3 minutes away, Sidham spotted a group of rescuers just down the river. He landed and found someone in charge.
Told him my background experience, law enforcement, firefighting, pilot. He immediately started helping with coordination. He gave me radio frequencies to coordinate with them on, set up a landing area for me to come back with the other victim. And in the middle of the whole conversation and them blocking the road off, I was greeted by the, at that time I didn't know, but Lake Lure fire chief or assistant chief maybe, and he shut down the whole operation. So at that point I felt like the conversation wasn't going any further, and again he asked me to leave, and I said, hey, I have no problem getting out of your area. If that's what you want us to do, we'll leave, no issue. At that point I asked him, you know, what was the reason I had to leave them there, and he said, again, you're interfering with my operation. I just need you to get out of the area. I said, sir, I don't know where you were trained at, but I know how my training is, and I'm not going to leave personnel behind. I'm going back to get my co-pilot. He said, if you turn around and go back up the mountain, you're going to be arrested. I said, well, sir, I'm going back to get my co-pilot. I don't know what to tell you. And he said, I'm letting you know. And at that point, he waved for two law enforcement officers to come over and told me that again, if I go back up the mountain, I would be arrested.
He flew the 3-minute trip back, picked up his son, and left the woman's husband behind.
I'm sure he was flooded with emotions and trying to rescue other people. And I just felt that it was best at the time to leave. So I did follow his instructions, and I had a conversation with the female victim before I left, apologized and explained, and she was standing there. She heard the whole conversation, and they were both very, very surprised, very upset. The husband, as I was leaving off of the side of the mountain at that point, separated from his wife, he was upset. I can only imagine.
Sidham and his nearly 1,400 flight hours turned his chopper around and headed back to South Carolina, passing people waving for help along the way.
As I was actually leaving to go back to get my son, the original chief or captain that I spoke to, his crew and himself, they came back over and said, hey, man, we can't tell you to go get the victim. We can't even ask you to go get the victim, but we can tell you if you come back with the victim, we'll have you a designated landing spot, and they won't. We'll make sure they don't come over here.
So there was no flight restriction when you went in?
No flight restriction when I went in. It went in place 20 or 30 minutes after the conference.
So if you're an American and you're trying to save a fellow American, the authorities step in and say you're under arrest. You know, it reminds me of when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s watching movies. And they put in all of our minds constantly this thought of KGB. If you do anything as a citizen to support any other citizen in a country, we're going to watch you and we're going to take you in. How dare you go against the laws of the land? James Randall showed us this. If you're looking at your screen, this is a ruling of the United States Supreme Court shortly after the Civil War in Ex parte Milligan, 71 U.S. 2, 1866, which yet stands to this day. Neither the legislature nor any executive or judicial officer may disregard the provisions of the Constitution in case of emergency. Section 98, therefore, anyone who declares the suspension of constitutionally guaranteed rights to freely travel, peacefully assemble, living, earn a living, freely worship, etc., and or attempts to enforce such suspension within 50 independent, sovereign, continental United States of America is making war against our constitutions, and therefore we the people. They violate their constitutional oath and thus immediately forfeit their office and authority, and their proclamations may be disregarded with impunity, and that means anyone, even the governor and president. I've got a lot more to cover on this. Red Cross and FEMA, TEMA, that would probably be the Tennessee FEMA, right? Has arrived, and all donations that has been given to local high school volunteers, they've been confiscated, starting with Davy Crockett High School. They are taking over all volunteer schools in Washington County and Greene County. In order for anyone to get donations that was given, they must be approved. All monetary donations have been taken as well and placed into a TEMA account. If you're unaware of how it works, those items they don't all get used for the particular disaster. Volunteers have been asked to leave. And we're told in order to help, they must be trained by United Way. Please, I know I already made a post on Red Cross and FEMA the other day, but please, if you donate to a church or give to individuals to help out. As a matter of fact, you think that the government's going to help you out? Well, just know that they're going to give $750 one-time emergency assistance payment for American victims of Hurricane Helene. That came from the news with Kamala Harris letting us know we agreed to a $750 payment for all these victims. Really? $8.7 billion military for Israel, $8 billion in military aid for Ukraine, $567 million to Taiwan. Let's see. We gave $24 billion to Ukraine, $11 billion to Israel, $1 billion to Ethiopia, $1 billion to Jordan, $1 billion to Egypt, $1 billion to Afghanistan, $1 billion to Somalia, $1 billion to Yemen, $987 million to Congo, $896 million to Syria, and $9,000 per illegal immigrant that has entered the U.S. But they're going to give them $750. There you go. That's all we can do for you. We're at andweknow.com. We're going to get to more in a minute. Folks, just want to remind you, truth, hope, faith, and freedom. You can reach us there. Anything that you need, you can get there. All of our videos are there, also located at different places like Rumble, BitChute, and more. We're also on Clout Hub. Just want to remind you, our MWeKnow TV, we took it down. We reminded folks that have .TV many times that we're going to take it down. If you've been charged at all for August 30 or September 30, you were not supposed to be. You can actually file a protest with your credit card company. We were promised that this would be shut down. It's finally down now, but people have been charged. And I'm just letting you know that you can get your help. We're working on something better for you guys. And I'm not going to give the specifics, but just want to make sure you know about that. Shop.amweknow.com. Sweatshirts and hoodies, accessories, hats, tees, and tanks. New mugs are available now and more. You guys can wear these, and you never know who you're going to run into. Kind of amazing. We got this picture with Eric Trump. She said, "Hi, LT, sharing this photo when I met Eric Trump a month ago at the opening ceremony for Trump Cidery." So it was an honor to meet him. Eric Trump was so nice and took a picture with everyone at the event. I totally think when I walked up, he stared at my hat. I could tell he'd looked at it before we made eye contact. Thank you, you're in family. Team, for all you do. We did interview Eric Trump. We met him, took pictures with him about a year and a half ago, and he is familiar with that logo. We hope that he remembers, as I met him a couple times now, and hope he's doing great. Here's more great pictures of Patriots wearing our gear.
Well, you're going to have to just excuse my appearance because we have no power. We have no running water. But I'm just so pissed off that I've got to make this clear. We got a notification from TEMA. I'm guessing that's FEMA for Tennessee. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's supposed to be the disaster relief people. But they were like, "Do not donate your time. We don't want you to donate time unless we ask for you. And we don't want you to donate stuff to other people. You need to just donate money and stuff to us and get your instructions from us and listen to us." What? And then you say, they said yesterday, "We don't go into areas that the roads are not easily accessible." What? You are the disaster relief people. Like, that is your job, to go into the areas that are hit by disaster and provide relief. Not to just go to the easy area and sit and wait for the people that are in the disaster area to be able to come to you. The roads that we do have were cleared by the locals, and you have to have trucks and stuff to be able to get through there. Like, it's just beyond me. So, and you have us all messed up. If you think you're going to come here and bark orders at us, and then expect the people just to give you the money and us trust that you're going to try to take care of us when you don't go into areas that are not easily accessible. What? Like, this is Cock County, girl. So donate to our local churches, because they will make sure that the people that are need it will get it. And you need to just, while we appreciate what help you're trying to provide, I don't think you understood the assignment, because it's not to just go to one location in hopes that the people in the disaster area can make it to you. So just sit back and watch, and we'll show you how it's done, but we're not going to stop. So please and thank you.
Folks are waking up. We've got social media. We've got this information flowing everywhere. And as a reminder, like I said in the last video, the enemy is working overtime on TikTok, on social media, on YouTube, and more, to tell everybody that all these disasters that you're looking at, they're just AI generated. And so those people that hate President Trump, that hate conservatives, that hate Christians, they're out. spouting that out, making sure that everybody knows, oh, that's just make-believe. It's not real. It's not real until something happens to them. So I wanted to read this from Ann Vandersteel real quick. Excuse me. Mission Hospital Nurse Report, Asheville, North Carolina. Hurricane Helene Dispatch. I just spoke with a registered nurse who wishes to remain anonymous. She works at Mission Hospital. She has been working every night at hospital since last Tuesday. Tonight is her first night off. She will return tomorrow to work another 6 nights. When she is called, she was told that she would receive crisis pay for the first 3 nights. Now she's receiving overtime. Well, when she arrived for the 5 p.m. shift, she was told to clock in, not to clock out until given the okay to leave. She stayed until today, was paid to sleep at Mission Hospital with only mats on the ground and classrooms. Hazards of 6 days of chaos, stealing food. People are coming in off the streets into Mission Hospital, stealing food that's supposed to be used for the staff. Mental patients are running loose due to the loss of electricity. Doors at a neighboring behavioral health hospital would not lock. So the security guards were pulled from the guarding their own hospital and sent to work at the behavioral health hospital as psychiatric patients were escaping and running loose. Due to the security risk of unknown people just showing up for food and shelter, the behavioral health hospital is only allowing one visitor or patient because, according to a security guard who spoke to my nurse source, people are showing up with guns to get food. That's all hearsay. Upon leaving her long shift yesterday morning, my source saw that there was a line out the door of people waiting to get in. She witnessed a patient in a wheelchair slumped over and left in the middle of the road. The nurse also witnessed a man on stretcher with a neck brace. Watch the medical team pick up, transfer the patient to a wheelchair. There's no beds in the Mission Hospital. They're keeping patients in the hallways. They can't discharge anyone, as once the patient is on the floor, you can't get them out. This is a result of no gas in cars, no one to transport the patient, and home medications are not available to them at this time. The hospital's only providing critical meds to them and only for 5 days at a time. Fake news covering up the truth. The local news is underreporting. They're saying 160 bodies have been recovered. I reported that a sheriff personally pulled and bagged over 1,200 bodies out of rivers. Probably not by himself, I'm sure, with his whole staff, guys. And from the side of roads. They are still missing 1,000 in Swannanoa. Compounding, strike problem. 90% of the nurses have voted to strike against the hospital since the hurricane. They have not come up with day to start the strike. My source's spouse said that he did witness that the American Red Cross is helping, for what it's worth. It's people providing most of the on-the-ground support, logistics, supplies, and rescues. Just in, Homeland Security, Secretary Mayorkas said FEMA does not have the funds to make it through hurricane season, but they do have money for this.
That's why today we're announcing $325 million in new funding to help repair Ukraine's energy and electric grid. And we'll rally additional support from the G7 plus countries when we have a meeting of the Energy Coordination Group in the next couple of weeks. I'm also announcing today $290 million in new humanitarian support to help provide vital services like safe drinking water, food, shelter, medicine.
Yeah, send it to another country. Just throw it all away, all of our tax dollars. Who cares that we've got a whole military that we can send in, folks? That's unbelievable, and I've said this over and over again. It really fires me up. Unbelievable. I mean, it's believable now, but to me, I'm just in shock. Where's the military? Why are they not speaking up? Where are the generals that are standing up and saying, you know what? I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this. I'm standing up for my country. I know my rights. I know that these guys are telling me I can't go in, but you know what? Let's join together, generals, and we're going to get all of our troops together at different bases. We're going to join together for a joint information bureau, a joint operations center, and we're going to go in and provide support. You know what's really interesting? When I was at Cherry Point, North Carolina, we had these joint operations or exercises that we conducted, and we pretended if there's a million people with the flu, what are we going to do with them? And we had to work with other bases and try to figure out how we're going to house them and how we're going to take care of them and what we're going to do with our local authorities, blah, blah. We practiced that all the time. Where are those guys? Did they stop doing that? Guy said, just got down from the mountains delivering supplies. Families with kids haven't ate or had water in 3 days before I got there. Multiple counties completely shut out from every utility. FEMA is currently confiscating donations and blocking volunteers. I fear we might need a militia to inhibit or stop FEMA. As crazy it sounds, FEMA is directly confiscating donated items and blocking volunteers from helping, kicking churches out of parking lots, etc. That's according to Rasta Guerrilla. So, right here, Spygate Down says, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, is their duty to throw off such government to provide new guards for their new future security. So I just find it amazing that we're not seeing a huge move of military. How come they don't have the Marines, Navy, Air Force, Army all joining together, flying in helicopters left and right from the INI stations, flying them down, making sure that they drop off supplies, just like you see in other countries when you see the tsunamis. The military's in, they bring the ships in, they fly all the helicopters, they drop. If you have the tsunami in Japan, they brought all the supplies in, they made sure that everybody had water, MREs, meals ready to eat, everything they needed to survive so that folks would, you know, they always say to reduce further loss of life. They're trying to mitigate loss of life. Where's our big operations center? Where are they on the news saying we're here to support? Oh, no. Instead, we get old Kambala out there saying, oh, we've got $750 for you. See ya. I'm getting back on my plane and campaigning. So again, we go back to wondering, was this a land grab? Wondering if they used weather, if they change weather to make things happen. Check out what they do in other countries.
Is it going to rain in Dubai today? Just so I know. I have to drive back from Abu Dhabi to Dubai.
No.
It's not raining. It's a sunny day. The UAE government invested more than $20 million in research to start a process called cloud seeding. The UAE performs around 1,000 hours of cloud seeding a year, and it's all controlled by this building in the National Center of Meteorology in Abu Dhabi, where they track the whole process. We met with a cloud seeding expert to explain how the seeding process works.
We wait the forecast. When we have a good, you know, chance for a cloud, we send the aircraft to that location. It go under the cloud. In the first stage of the cloud, there is good updraft at that time, start to release all the salt, and with the good updraft, of course, it will go inside the cloud. The droplets will become bigger and start to rain.
The center manufactures a salt substance that helps enhance rainfall. They put them in what they call flares.
Yeah, just throw a little bit of salt in there. You know, we control the weather that way. Let's see. Somebody talked about this into thin air. Here we go.
All right, my friends, no time to waste here. Did you know that the United States has multiple patents on how to steer and control hurricanes and tornadoes? Yes, this is very real, and it's backed by sources, as well as our own NOAA website, which discusses weather manipulation and what steps you or I would have to take in order to do our own weather manipulation. My friends, this is no joke. Many people believe that weather manipulation was used for Hurricane Helene, then somehow coincidentally stalled over the rare lithium-producing towns of Western and North Carolina, which is the exact location of the largest lithium deposit we have in the United States. Now, something to keep in mind while moving forward, ever since we left Afghanistan, we have lost the ability to mine lithium there, where most of it used to come from. Now we are stuck having to fill this insane demand we have for this lithium right here in the United States. Once again, the largest deposit being right over the towns that just got completely destroyed by this hurricane. Alright, so before I tie this all up with this lithium situation, this video you're looking at right now went super viral over the last few days. We have over 3 million views on this clip here, where we are talking about these weird anomalies that were taking place right before landfall of Hurricane Helene. There's a lot of controversy about what's going on here, but these things pointed directly to where we saw landfall. Not only that, but we saw some weird in there, a lot of weird stuff that we were breaking down, and it's causing a lot of talk about this situation, which is the point here. We've already established that weather manipulation exists, but I want you to take a look at this website from 2007, my friends. That's 17 years ago, and it came out from the Telegraph. It says, scientists a step closer to steering hurricanes. Now, in this article, they explain how they are using technology in order to control, manipulate, and steer these types of storms, including tornadoes. dollars. So when you take things like this, and you also add these patents that have been out for decades, you begin to see a picture being painted of what is really going on. Now, this isn't to say that every bit of weather is manipulated and controlled. It means that they have the capability of doing this, and it's right in your face. Now, I can't say for sure that Hurricane Helene was controlled by this type of technology, but it certainly looked like it was, and it certainly did epic, record-breaking damage that we have not seen in any of our lifetimes. So this will come down to you making your own conclusions and taking the data and making your own educated decisions on what you're seeing. We are in a place in history where it's almost impossible to be able to trust our own media or government, and I don't need to go over explanations on why that is. So now that we have all these steps in place, think about the situation as a whole. This wild hurricane comes barreling towards Florida, and we suspected that once this thing got close to land, it would rapidly intensify, and that's exactly what it did. And in my opinion, the reason that happened is because once it got close enough to our NEXRAD radar towers, it was then able to be influenced, as I've shown in many, many videos. All right, now finally, I just want to conclude with this. 1 year ago, almost to the day, as you can see in this article, North Carolina lithium mine to reopen with $90 million Pentagon order to help increase U.S. production. My friends, if this is not screaming to you right now, I don't know what else can. Just take a look at how much lithium we've used year to year up to 2024, and then once again ask yourself, what are the chances that this flood takes place in the biggest spot in the United States that we can even mine this stuff? My friends, the information's there, it's been there, and if you don't go check it out now, it might not be there forever. I appreciate you all. I'm praying for...
So here we go. As you're playing this out, I want you to notice again, it's been 5 days since Hurricane Helene, and parents can't even buy food for their children. Meanwhile, hope it gives you comfort knowing that our government has spent $17 billion in the last few days to fund foreign countries.
Wednesday, October 2nd.
Empty.
Gone.
October 2nd, Walmart, Airport Road, Asheville, North Carolina. No food. Empty. Empty shelves. Empty refrigerators. What's going on, folks? Where's our support? Where's the help? Why aren't there droves and hundreds of military flying in to help? As a matter of fact, they're going to need help with this, too. Flooded towns are reporting looters are slashing truck tires and stealing food and medical supplies. Every looter caught so far in North Carolina and Tennessee has been an illegal alien. Alan Mashburn says, I was just informed by a person in the water service industry that a supply company willing to donate pipe for repairs to expedite city county water being restored was told no by federal agencies, assuming it was FEMA on the ground. It's not just the damage and fatalities we are facing. We are literally fighting the feds for survival in Western North Carolina. Sure would be nice if we had a governor that would fight for the citizens instead of only showing up for photo ops. And that's what's going on around there. All this playing out. At the same time, we're seeing the exposure of our elections and what happened January 6th by President Trump. He told us October 2nd, big news, Nancy Pelosi has been exposed on tape during her daughter's documentary, saying she and she alone is responsible for the events of January 6, 2021. Can you imagine how that poor and loving daughter has suffered for allowing the truth to get released? Why did he tell us that? He's already told us that before. My theory is he wanted us to know because he posted it at 1602 with a TT2-3334 on it, timestamp all together matching 1602. If you continue to proceed down this dangerous path, only know that we are prepared. He's talking to the bad guys. You should know that this based on earlier drops. The game is over when the public knows. The fight to keep the lights off is all that matters to you. You will fail. He's talking to the enemy. The American people are awake. We're waking up. You lost control, bad guys. You underestimated their resolve and their ability to free think away from the pipeline narrative. We will declass. We will shine light. There's nowhere to hide. No amount of money, influence, or power can stop this. Our rights to secure and protect at all costs then become justified. We stand at the ready. Red wave, white squall, in God we trust. Truth to light. It's all going to be coming out. We're learning and we're growing more and more. Of course, no better truth came out than the wonderful debate that J.D. Vance had the other day. Check this out.
170 electoral votes and making Donald Trump the next president of the United States. Now, it's hard to believe, but we've only got 33 days until the election. Now, that's a good news, bad news situation, because that means we've got a very limited amount of time to make our case to the American people that Donald Trump ought to be reelected president. But the good news is that means only 33 more days for Kamala Harris to gaslight and lie to the American people, and that's a pretty good thing. Now, we of course, had a debate last night, a vice presidential debate. I thought it went pretty well. Now, it's funny because, you know, we did this debate, and then I talked to the president afterwards, and we talked a little bit about, you know, what actually happened and, you know, some of the points that I made, some of the points that Governor Walz made. And you know, he made this observation. He said that Tim Walz said that he was friends with school shooters twice. And that's something I actually didn't notice, that Tim Walz had said that on the debate stage. And I said, did he really say that, sir? And he said, I'm telling you, man, go and watch the clips. He said he was friends with school shooters twice. And I said, that was probably only the third or fourth dumbest comment Tim Walz made that night then. Because look, I got to be honest, I feel a little bad for Governor Walz. And the reason I feel bad for him is because he has to defend the indefensible. And that is the record of Kamala Harris. And think about this. For the past 8 weeks, Kamala Harris, who never won a Democrat primary vote, has gone around the country saying that she is on day one going to tackle the affordability crisis that's making it hard for you to afford groceries, housing, and everything else. She says on day one, we're going to make energy prices lower for American consumers. And on day one, she says, we're going to tackle the instability and conflict all over the world. Well, Kamala Harris, day one was 1,400 days ago. What the hell have you been doing that whole time? Why don't you get to work instead of just talking about...
Pretty amazing guy. You know, I saw this clip. I didn't think we'd have time to play it, but I'll show you now. We didn't know that J.D. Vance's childhood was like
Vance's
this.
Vance's father abandoned him. His mother was locked in an endless cycle of drug abuse that escalated to heroin. The toll it took on her young son is seared into memory, like a simple car ride gone wrong.
I said something or some conversation topic really ignited her temper, and then she just sped up. And she kept on saying, I'm just going to crash this car and kill us both. I'm going to crash this car and kill us both.
JD jumped out of the car and ran for help. Someone called the police, and his mother was arrested.
And when you watched them take her, do you remember how that felt?
Honestly, I just felt relieved. In that moment, I just felt relieved. And I thought to myself, all right, I'm going to live another day. That's how terrified I was. I mean, I just wanted that situation to end. And then I just broke down, right? I remember I was just really sad and felt very lonely because I'm sitting in the back of this police cruiser. They've just arrested my mom. The relief of having survived another day was gone. And then I just wanted... Then I just wanted somebody to come and take me away, and that was actually Lindsay.
Why does that particular moment bring tears?
One, it's just such a crystal clear memory, and so it's hard almost not to feel the same way that I felt as a 12-year-old kid sitting in the back of that police cruiser. But I also think that that moment is kind of a microcosm of my entire life, is that there was this brief moment of terror and of feeling really lonely, and then there was Lindsay.
I would die for that kid.
Did know that about him. Shines a light on his heart, his love for his family, and more. He worked for me for a year and never brought that story up, but I tell you what he did do. He came to my Bible studies that I was allowed to do. The chaplain gave me permission. And he was very interested in the scriptures and what they had to say. And he learned a lot. And he appreciated it. I have good memories with him. Speaks us to us all as parents. And I wanted to end today's video with a clip about a grieving mother explaining how her 7-year-old became her hero just before he was swept away by Helene.
One family is dealing with unimaginable grief, losing three loved ones in Asheville, North Carolina, when they were swept away in floodwaters. Two members of this family, one of which is a survivor of this devastating event, they're coming out to share their story 4 days later.
Megan Dyer and her sister Heather Kephart lost their parents, and Megan lost her seven-year-old son, Micah. Megan agreed to do the interview with us this morning in Micah's honor. Megan and her sister Heather, they join us live here on Weather Command, and we do appreciate you both for being here with us. Let us start by saying we are so, so sorry for your loss. Megan, you witnessed this happen, and when we experience grief, so often we are asked, how are you holding up? But I feel like I know the answer to that already. So let me ask you this then. How is your grief today?
My grief today is unfathomable. I'm sorrowful. I feel broken. But what is the main thing that I take away from grief is the uplifting of all the prayers that I have received. And I think that all the chain of prayers that I have felt are the things that held me up, the things that are holding me together right now. Because if it was up to my humanly flesh, I wouldn't be able to do it. Family, togetherness, many, many people reaching out, praying, sending their support. That's the pieces that I can't have on my own that they're putting together for me.
And Heather, by your side, Megan, we also know your other sister, Jessica. Mm-hmm. Initially, when the story started coming out of Western North Carolina, your sister Jessica was posting updates on Facebook before, even after the rescue and those subsequent updates. There is this picture I believe you took on the roof, and only if you feel comfortable sharing what was going through your mind, because you, your parents, and your son, I believe those were your shoes, had to evacuate to the roof.
Yes, we did. It was our only hope at that point. Everything else was covered in water. We were on the roof, and I considered at that moment that we were at our safe point. So I took a picture because at that point I still had service and I wanted to keep them in the loop. I thought we were okay still until the house broke apart and until everything started to collapse. Devastation. I was terrified, but in that moment, all I thought about was being a mom and keeping my son safe and reassuring him that this is how superheroes are made. We survive and we keep going. And, I wanted to keep that alive in that moment. So I never let the faith falter.
I want to ask you too, Heather, as we give Megan a moment as well, you are Megan's sister. So your parents were also on that roof, as well as your nephew. I am reading that you do not live in Asheville. So what was the communication? Did you know what was happening in real time as your family was waiting for that necessary life-saving support?
We were getting texts from Megan, and like Megan, we were hopeful. I mean, we never in a million years would imagine that this would have happened. And then things went dark and we didn't have any communication. And our sister, Jessica, went into action mode and started calling on the only hope that we have,
prayer,
which is prayer. And the network came through like we have never seen. It's been such a blessing to our family. All the people, all of the responders, all around the world came and they prayed for us. In our family.
And I have to say, in the water, because I was stuck there for a very long time in the water, and I was, you know, held down by roots and trees. And in that moment, you know, in the midst of the chaos, all I heard was God telling me to be still and to stop fighting the water. That was Him, but that was prayers. That was prayers that told me to be still and to let the water carry me to where I needed to be rescued.
And you were eventually rescued, and sharing the story just 4 days later, Megan, your son, Micah, 7 years old, from what I've been told, you're wearing one of his t-shirts. You called him a superhero.
Yes, he wanted to be Deadpool for Halloween, and in his honor, I wore it today for him.
Micah, man.
Tell us about Micah and the legacy that he's going to leave on this earth.
this moment. You know, I'm so proud of my son because in his last moments, he wasn't screaming for me. He was screaming, Jesus, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I hear you. Jesus, I'm calling upon you. And his wildest dreams and everything that he wanted to be was a superhero. And that was his goal in life. And instead, he's my hero because he reached for something past flesh, past human, past anything that even grown adults, I think, would reach for. My son called out to the one God Almighty. And I think at that moment, he was rescued and he became my hero. And I think all of them carried me through that moment. I think that his biggest dreams, he was the smartest, bravest, hopeful, great friend, great son. I couldn't have asked for a better son. And he was so happy up until the very end when he was screaming for Jesus. And in that moment, I think he found joy.
You know, the innocence of children is actually quite spectacular. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It is. Marissa, being a mother too, Megan and Heather, I do, amidst the tragedy, your parents as well, Jessica included, how will they be remembered? Heather, if you don't mind sharing about your parents.
Our parents, like everybody, were not perfect. But since the time that we could talk in our little Southern accents, they taught us Bible verses. And we had, my dad, we had a big piece of cardboard. And for every Bible verse we memorized, he gave us a star. And they're the old foily stars that I don't even know if they make them now. But we got one for every verse. And those verses, to this day, are in our hearts and in our minds. And I think nothing, they wouldn't want to do anything else in this moment, but to give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And one verse in particular, Micah 6:8, he has shown thee, O man, what is good, but what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, love humbly, and to walk humbly with thy God.
We're a little rusty.
I think I know why Micah got his name now.
Yeah. Yes, he did, in honor of my father and in honor of that verse.
Yeah. You two are incredible. You know, and I apologize. It's so emotional. I think anybody watching, it's hard not to get choked up. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Whew, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Will you tell them why I'm so sorry? I'm sorry. I have a 7-year-old. I have a 7-year-old at home. And so I do want to ask you. Oh my gosh, I've never done this on air before, but I think people watching need to know that when we talk about over 120 lives that have been lost, these are brothers and sisters and sons and mothers and fathers. Yep. Prayer and faith is getting you through this, and it is such an important thing to lean on in this time. What is it you want people watching to know and to understand as we continue to bring coverage out of Asheville, out of North Carolina, out of these communities that have been so deeply and forever impacted?
I want them to remember that there is joy beyond the pain, that while we are wrapped in sorrow and while we are wrapped in grief and overwhelming regret for all the things that we could have done that we didn't, that they are happy. And they are joyful and they are all around us looking down. And my son couldn't be more proud at me for hanging on. My parents were probably lifting me up when I was in between the two things that were holding me down. They are rejoicing at the fact that I now can tell them what God did for me, because it was God. He said, be still. I am in control and you will pass on. This is a backfire for the devil.
For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, all that's happening around us is shaking us at the core. The foundation of our faith in you is still strong. Through those parents, through a mother, an aunt, watching their son slip off to be with you, realizing that through all of the devastation, through the storms of our life and more, how grateful we are for you sending your son, Jesus Christ, for us, to die on the cross for us and rise again after 3 days. It's all we got. The most important thing that we have is our relationship with you. We lift up all the folks that are hurting now, family members affected, thousands and thousands of grandparents, brothers, sisters, sons and daughters who have been devastated by the enemy once again. We ask that you continue to watch over and protect us, our lives, our families, and more, and realize each day is so precious. Please continue to destroy the enemy before our eyes. All their plans, may they be foiled and destroyed. We ask that you open our eyes to see what you're doing. Such mighty works in our life through all this devastation. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Really wanted to hit hard on what's going on with Helene today. Make sure that we know our rights to secure and protect at all costs are justified. The enemy has nowhere to hide. For now, this is LT saying Semper Fi. With them, we know. Signing out.